This is Archer, ArcherRadio.com. Today is Wednesday, June 14th, 2006. And on today's show, we are going to call Chef Mark of the Remarkable Palate Podcast and the Remarkably Mark Podcast. He just uploaded his second show, and we're going to chat with him and talk about whatever. So let me give him a call and see if he's free to chat. I'm sure you probably can't hear the ringing, but it is ringing right now. And let's see if he answers his phone. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing just well, thank you.
Nice.
I see you just uploaded your second show.
I did, yeah. I got that edited together and just put it up just this few minutes ago.
Very good. And
yeah.
is it a good one?
It is a really good one. It's long. It's like 45 minutes. John and I just chatted away, and he played music, and I should mention to your listeners that we're talking about John Ong. I had
yes.
him as the second guest on my show number 2 of Remarkably Mark.
Yes.
So go listen to that.
And you probably have noticed that I put a link in my sidebar to your new show.
I did. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And looking at your comments, it looks like all of my listeners are now listening to you.
Yes, I have you to thank for. Well, it was as I just recorded show number 2, I was joking that, you know, it was interesting to get all of these comments and all these shout outs that I had to send back, because I've been doing the Remarkable Palate Podcast for nearly a year. I mean, I think I feel I'm a veteran podcaster. You know, I've done 43 shows of that, and it's funny, I was joking that I think I have gotten more comments on my first show of this one than on all of those shows.
See, people love you in your personal life.
Maybe they're just voyeuristic.
Oh, I don't know. It's the voyeurs who don't ever comment. You've got people who are definitely commenting. So
yeah, no, they're sweet and very nice people. So I will ask them to share their thoughts and whatever they want. You know, if they want to be on the show or just, you know, comments. You know, I have this My Chingo box, which is a really great way of leaving voice comments. You just click right on the webpage, and if you have a microphone on your system, you can just leave a voice message right there on the webpage.
That's right. And have you gotten some voice messages?
Not on that, no.
Okay.
No, not for this show yet. No.
Yeah.
We've had some for the other show, but so people hopefully will get to see that. And I also have a Skype number that people can call in on that I'll be sure and put out on the blog.
Right.
So well, what's going on with you?
Well, not too much. As you probably, I don't know if you've listened to Monday and Tuesday shows.
I have.
Well, we've gotten so much feedback from those two shows with the boyfriend
all this,
and I.
Yeah, all of this political talk.
Yes, I was hoping to actually connect with Mike Hipp and give him a chance to speak on the show, because he left a nice long comment about the politics show.
Okay. I'm trying to actually, the second show, the Music and Politics show, I've been trying to click on the comments for that, and for some reason it's not, it's a JavaScript, but it's not popping up for some reason. I'm missing it. I'm sorry. It popped up. It replaced another Internet Explorer window I already had open, so I didn't notice it.
Yeah, because there's six comments on
it. Oh, look at all this long stuff. Yeah.
I know, and I mean, people were really obviously passionate about what we were talking about.
I can see that, you know, Mike is very passionate about that.
Yeah, it was quite a good show. I'm really surprised that it generated that much feedback, but of course I appreciate it and love it. And I was thinking as I was getting ready to record this show that I probably have, well, not that just me, but I have probably the greatest listeners ever, because they certainly give me lots of feedback and get involved with what we're talking about. And I'm so pleased with all their comments and their feedback. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, one thing that struck me as very interesting about what the boyfriend was saying is that, you know, it really is true that the leadership that we get really reflects where people are coming from in the sort of the mass majority of people. And I think that understanding that and accepting that is not the same as throwing your hands up and saying, oh, well, forget it.
Right.
It's just getting that. The leadership is going to reflect that. Now we have a chance to change that and to affect that, but we have to first recognize that that's how it is.
Exactly, and I think I think he clarified in the comments that he's not saying don't go ahead and protest and yell and scream and speak your mind and everything. He's just saying that It looks like, because I should, I was going to talk about this in the show. On Sunday's, in Sunday's paper, the Washington Post, on Sunday, June 11th, right inside the first page, there was this long thing called Gay Pride and Prejudice, and it has different polls about different questions. And it says, like for the first one, says, in 1996, 65% opposed allowing gays to marry legally. In 2006, 51%. And so,
don't even get me started on polls. Okay,
I know.
Do you watch Penn and Teller bullshit?
No, but I remember you talking about polls.
They did
before.
A whole thing on polls. You can fuck with any poll you want. You can get people to answer the way you want them to, depending on how you ask it, the way you phrase it. Polls, I mean, and this is what your boyfriend was also saying, was that, you know, unless you dig deeper and really, really get at, I mean, you know, it's, those polls are meaningless. You know, you can get them to say whatever you want.
Well, that's true, but I guess I was looking at this overall, in the overall picture, saying, agreeing with what the boyfriend said, that over time, acceptance of gays, acceptance of gay relationships and so forth has changed.
Of course it has.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. These polls kind of back what we were saying about that.
But the truth is, we don't even need a poll to tell us that. We just can see it in our lives.
Well, that's true, too. But I guess the point he was trying to make was that, meaning that in time, we too will have gay marriage. But at the same time, he's saying, don't stop protesting, don't stop talking. He's just saying that eventually it will come, you know.
Well, right. I mean, in 1954, one might have said, oh, you know, slowly over time, white Americans' attitudes towards black people is slowly changing, so eventually we'll have equality. Let's just be patient. Well, no. I mean, one might have said that, but I think it was just as important for the people, for black and white people who were progressively minded to say, wait a minute, this is not how it should be in this country. We need to work to change things. So I think that, you know, it's important to have people that are doing that, and it's also important to, I think, in some ways, just to say, okay, well, you know, it is important to be patient too. You know, just being patient is not enough.
No, and that's the
point. Just being, rebellious is also not enough.
Exactly. That's the point I think we really ultimately wanted to make, was that, yes, attitudes are changing over time, but that does not mean you stop and wait. You still do something.
Right.
Now, and today I kind of feel like I did a little something, because in Virginia we are having our Democratic primaries for our Senate seats. Or at least the Democratic Senate seat, I should say.
Right, it's the beginnings of that process.
Yeah, the very beginnings of the process. So I had my choice between James Webb and Harris Miller. I know these names mean nothing to people, but I keep getting email from both of them, and I've been reading through them, and I've decided to choose James Webb as my Democratic representative. However, I just feel like
it's a Senate seat or a Congress seat?
I believe it's Senate. Okay. Not in the state of Virginia, for the Congress Senate.
For the
U.S. Senate.
For the U.S. Senate, right. Yeah. So, and whose seat, who will they be replacing?
Oh, gosh, I don't even remember who they're replacing. Oh, George Allen.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's retiring?
No, he's not retiring. It's just he's up for re-election.
He's running as a Republican.
As the Republican in November.
And so the Democrats are putting up their candidate now. To decide who's going to run against him.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, and for the Democrats, it's between James Webb and Harris Miller. And
Is that the seat that Warner used to have?
You know, I don't know.
Okay. Well, wasn't John Warner Republican senator from Virginia for many years?
I believe so.
One of Liz Taylor's many husbands?
Yes. Well, then, wouldn't he have been Democratic?
I have no idea. I thought he was Republican, but then again, I'm not. I don't follow it that closely.
Well, of course. But I know that George Allen's—he's up for re-election, and it's time to get rid of him and vote a Democrat in there. Of course, it won't happen. I know he won't win, but I just felt like I did a little thing for my part by going to the polls today and casting my Democratic primary vote for James Webb.
Okay.
So. I feel good about that.
But I don't like that attitude of saying, oh, I know he won't win. Because, see, that's, you know, change never happens from people sort of saying that. Like, you know, believing one thing and then saying, oh, I know this doesn't count. Well, it does count. It does matter. And even, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, having that attitude is like, you need to have the attitude that, you know, we can affect change. And
right.
by doing that, you'll actually infect other people with that attitude, and then change really will happen.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
I think
well,
that there's
the
so many people
that...
from small, either the small parties or from the underdog party who say, oh, we're not going to win. And that's, and that precisely for that reason, they don't win because they don't inspire other people to get off their ass and go vote. Because the biggest issue in America today with winning elections has to do with the apathy of the majority of people, not with, you know, sort of the,
well, that's
the,
true.
The fervor with which someone... you know, someone is a candidate. I think it's really the apathy. So if we as other voters can inspire each other to just go out and just care, you know, just
well,
to
and,
give a damn.
And possibly with the as many people who are pissed off with the Republicans, there is a chance that he might win. So
yeah,
you know, that we might get a
well. That's my view. Is that there's always a chance. You see, that's my thing. There's every single time there's an election, there's always a chance. It's sort of the corollary to what I was saying about, you know, no one owns the votes but the voter.
That's true. Yeah.
Like every single time, it's an opportunity to sort of renew afresh that democratic ideal.
Right.
And I think that too many of us don't really get it. We don't really value what it means. We haven't lost blood for it the way others have in the past.
Right.
And so we just don't cherish it. And I think it's time that we start to cherish it. You know, because there are literally people right now losing blood for us.
That's right, exactly.
You know?
We really do need to realize how important it is.
Yeah, yeah. I saw this just a few minutes of this Baghdad ER show that they had.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
It was like real footage from the Baghdad ERs from these soldiers, and it was, you know, it was pretty graphic. You know, they were like limbs that were like, you know, not attached to the body that they were trying to reattach. And
right.
I thought, wow, this is really the first time we ever see this sort of, you know, in vivid sort of video. You know, we've seen the old sort of the old fashioned grainy old photographic film type things, which don't seem to feel real to us. But when you see it on video, you know, with the harsh light of the fluorescent light inside those operating rooms, and it feels really real, because we've been in, you know, we've all been in the emergency room or in the hospital, and so we know that what that setting is. And to see that for real, I mean, they show this naked soldier with part of his arm blown off, and they're you know, they're shoving an IV into him to keep him alive, and it makes it really, really vividly real.
Now, where did you see that?
I think it was on HBO.
Okay.
It was late last night, yeah, and I happened to flip through as after I got home, and I saw that for a few minutes. I didn't watch the whole thing because I was going to go to bed. But,
Changing the subject just slightly, but...
yeah, right. Sorry for this morbid sort of...
What other shows do you watch on HBO?
Oh, my God. I am such a junkie. I'm an HBO junkie. Well, Deadwood just started up again.
Yeah.
So I'm watching Deadwood, which is great.
Oh, I think I may have asked you this before because I remember you talking about Deadwood.
We may have, yeah. Yeah, so Deadwood is up now. Huff, I really like Huff on
Showtime. Showtime, yeah.
And, you know, I watch Sopranos, but it's like, ooh, now there's a break, and then they're going to finish it off, and it's like, let's just hope they don't completely jump the shark before they know. Let's hope that they don't. You know, I feel that they're going to limp towards the finish line.
Well, the last show was like, what, a week and a half ago?
Yeah, it was last Sunday.
Yeah, because I just watched it like Monday night, and I noticed that they kind of rushed through that show. They went through like three seasons. I mean, like, it was fall, and then it was Thanksgiving, and then it was Christmas, all in an hour show.
Yeah,
they rushed through that too fast,
yeah.
I think.
Well, and also, you know, I thought that whole subplot with Carmela going to Paris was so weird. It was
that
just,
was weird.
Like, it seemed so out of place. It was almost as if, you know, like, what's her name? Edie Falco.
Yeah.
Just happened to, maybe she was doing a play in Paris, and they said, oh, let's film for, you know,
yeah.
a few days.
That's
in Paris.
Possible.
It seemed so disjointed, didn't really belong.
I know.
You know, in the storyline so much. It was like, oh, all of a sudden, okay, I'm going to go to Paris, you know, and be sad. And, I mean, there were some cool things. I loved how they brought Adriana back for that.
Yeah.
Like dream sequence, you know, and I guess that was probably the biggest purpose of that whole thing, was to, you know, sort of have that little bit of that storyline that, okay, they're starting to wonder what happened to her internally.
I think,
you know, before they've always assumed that other people have been whacked, and in this one maybe they didn't.
Right. Well,
so,
she, I think that Tony was trying to also take her mind off the spec house, because she was starting to get into wanting to spend a whole bunch more money, and he didn't want to get into that.
Right. But you notice as soon as she started asking questions about Adriana being whack, then he took care of that. He didn't want that.
Get on
but
that
I have
spec
a feeling
house.
That's going to be part in the plot line. That's going to be part of the sort of the unraveling within the internal family structure, you know, the family.
Right.
The mafia family in there is that this whole thing with Adriana, it won't just go away like you thought it would, because she was such a major character and such an important person in the lives of Christopher and Carmela.
Right.
You know, that just, I was wondering how long it would be before they were like, well you know, what's going on?
So true. Hey, anyway. Listen, I just thought about something. Would you be up for a chat with Mike Hipp in a little conference call?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, if you want to get him on the phone.
Let me see if he's interested. I'm going to hang up on you so I can make a little conference room, okay?
Okie dokie.
Okay, I'll get you in just a second.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
Oh, you're both here. Very good.
Okay, good.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
Good, good.
For the listeners, we are chatting with Chef Mark of the Remarkable Palate podcast, as well as Remarkably Mark podcast, and we have Mike Hipp, who is the author of Podcast Soup. Welcome,
yeah,
you guys.
Yeah, it's yummy.
Yay!
It is yummy.
Even though it's summer, it's still always a good time to have soup.
That's a good way to put it.
You're going to have a nice chilled soup this time of year, right?
There you go.
There you go. That's what you need.
Yeah, like, yeah. What's that, consomme or whatever? Is that cold?
Well, there's many cold soups. Gazpacho, vichyssoise. You can have cold consomme, yeah. There's all kinds of cool soups. I'm actually working on a recipe now that's going to go up on the website for the July menu. That's a chilled cucumber mint soup.
Oh.
That sounds good.
Oh, that sounds
yummy.
Really good.
It,
yeah.
I serve it in chilled martini glasses in the summer.
Sounds delicious.
Ooh, yeah, it's nummy.
So anyway, I just thought I would get you guys together because I don't think you've ever talked together, have you?
No, never spoken directly with Mark. We've spoken through comment boards. I don't know if email even.
Yeah, we've chit-chatted on email.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. That's true, because I linked you on the site.
Right. You put me on the site. Yeah, I'm right there.
Now, Mike, did you know that he has his new podcast, Remarkably Mark?
Yes, I listened to it over the weekend and commented on how different you sounded on his podcast
as opposed to
your podcast.
That's right. And I think it had to do with my recording, so I had to... another listener said that I sounded quieter and you sounded louder.
Well, I thought about that, too, because remember that night, I had just come back from retirement dinner, and I had had like four glasses of Merlot, and I think I was like screaming into the microphone. So you'll have to forgive me. Plus, did you mean it that way, Mike, or did you think that I was like too nice and reserved or whatever?
No, actually, what I read or the way I heard it, you sounded more gay.
Really?
So it wasn't technical at all.
More gay. Well, I'll have to butch it up then.
Not that there's anything wrong with being more gay. The more gay you are, the happier I am for you. But it's just,
I'm just so masculine that by comparison.
That must have been it.
Oh, God.
Right. Yeah, right.
Well, I'll tell you, Mark, on Friday when I went to the boyfriend's house, I pulled up your website and I said, you've got to come and look at this picture. Look at this picture. He's got long hair in this picture.
Oh, the one in the pool?
Yeah.
That was from a couple summers ago.
And the boyfriend's like, ooh, he is a hottie.
I had grown my hair out long when I went to Southeast Asia a few years ago, and then when I got back, I chopped it all off.
Ah, yeah. Very good. Yeah. Well, hey, Mike, what is up with is you have a phone call there?
No, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to ask you, what is Pride like down there where you are?
Atlanta Pride is a fairly large event. I'm not sure if it's free or not anymore. It used to be free, and it was the largest one in the Southeast. I haven't actually been in about 3 years since we moved up out of the city.
Uh-huh.
But it's a really great, week-long event and culminated.
Is that separate from Hotlanta?
Hotlanta
is that a separate event?
Right. That's now defunct. That was a river rafting kind of circuit party kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's defunct?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah, as far as I know.
It was funky and now it's defunct.
But well, Pride is really fun down here. We every time I've gone, I've had a good time. It's mostly about just people watching, though, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do they have it over at, like, Virginia Highlands area?
No, it's in Piedmont Park, the biggest city park.
The big park. That's a gorgeous, beautiful, old historical park.
You've been there? It's a really great park.
Yes, I've been there a few times.
Yeah. Have they had it yet?
No, it's the the weekend of the 24th, I'm not sure, maybe the 26th or something like
that. Okay, so you have a couple weeks. Well, as it turns out, our DC Pride was this past weekend, and I didn't know anything about it. But the thing is, in Sunday's paper, they showed, they had a big article in the Metro section about the parade and stuff. And of course, we were talking about this. I know Mark and I have talked about this a couple times, and the boyfriend and I were talking about this. But of course, what are the pictures in the newspaper of?
The drag queens and the leather men.
Right. We have a drag queen down in the right, in the left-hand corner, and in the huge picture right in the center are the dancing cowboys shirtless.
They would put the dykes cute. On bikes on the front page if they had their shirts on, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the dykes on bike, you go topless.
Exactly.
Or they put like duct tape on their nipples.
Right, because that's the law. You can't you can't show your nipples.
Yeah. Now, in Washington, do they hold it at DuPont Circle?
No, actually, it's held on... the parade goes around down Pennsylvania Avenue, Constitution Avenue, somewhere down that area. But then they have this big... it's called Capital Pride Street Festival, and that's where they block.
No, I liked it better the first time. Capital Fried.
Capital Fried.
Well, you were right.
Sorry.
All those queens on Tina.
Well, they have a hold, but that's true. It's mostly on Pennsylvania Avenue from the National Gallery of Art down to 7th Street. And they have like this big section where they have corporate sponsors, and then they have the arts. There's a place for arts tent. There's an arts tent, and then they have the stage down at the other end where they have performances and stuff. But I'm just reading that in the newspaper because I didn't go. But it looks like it was a fun event. We had perfect weather for it. But I just thought it was so funny that, of course, the picture is of the shirtless gay cowboys, and the this drag queen has a beard and a mustache. So it's funny.
It's to be expected, though. There's a in one of the editorials in the AJC today, they were talking about gay marriage, and they have a place for people to call to comment, and there are 196 comments as of the last time I checked it. And you know, it ranges from the typical religious people saying, well, God this and God that, but they're always going to show the stereotypes, you know. That's what's always going to come out.
But see, the boyfriend and I were talking. It's like, why can't they show the gay lawyers walking down the street in three-piece suits with their briefcases in their hands? I mean,
or the P flag.
Well, if they were wearing tiaras, maybe they would.
Well, I know it's the whole sensationalist thing. Show the pictures.
Exactly.
It's just not real, and that's not all of gay life. I don't think.
Okay, but you know what? This brings an interesting point up that I was going to say just a minute ago. This is our first opportunity this year. Is the first year that podcasting has been sort of pretty popular, right? And people know about podcasting now. So it's our chance to go and report from the trenches and actually record at Gay Pride and talk about it and put it out there for people so that, you know, by documenting our lives and how they really are, then we get the chance to tell the story not just the people on the nightly news.
Well, did you hear John Ong's recent podcast?
Yeah,
he
John
did
Ong.
Just that.
It's but great, he, yeah. And I'm planning on doing that. John and I talk about that on the podcast that I just put up.
Yeah, and he did a good
job.
We're
going to be bookends. He's going to be the first part of June, and I'll be the end of June.
Oh, very good. Well, he did a good job of talking about talking to politicians and groups that are not mostly known. You know, like they're not the gay cowboys and stuff. He talked to you know, I shouldn't say reputable people, but people who would represent us in a better light than, let's say, the gay cowboys or the drag queens, you know.
Now, anything wrong with gay cowboys?
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No. See, now I gotta clarify myself. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I think just the best picture to put forward to the religious right or the straights or whatever is the picture of normalized Americans, that we are just like you. You know, we just happen to be gay.
See, I have a little problem with that. I agree, because I think that, you know, most of us are normal. But my thing is, look, if we can't show the freaks and have them be accepted, then the truth is they don't accept us either. You see, sure. It's not until the Greeks are accepted that all of us are accepted, and that's, you know, that's not just a gay issue; that's an everything issue. So it's, you know, whether it's an ethnic, racial thing, you know, I mean, so would, you know, would we tell black people who aren't Cliff and Claire Huxtable that they've got to, you know, they've got to fit in more, and we're going to show the Huxtables? I mean, you know, we did. And for all these years, it was like, okay, you know, you show these sort of the model citizen black people, and now that's like, no, black people, they get to be who they want to be. They get to be themselves, and if we can't accept who people are, then we aren't very, you know, we aren't accepting of them. You know, they can't fit into what our little comfortable zone about what we want them to be.
I guess the people with some gays would say, well, then you're just being straight, because we're trying to be like them.
Right, well, it's kind of pandering to, you know, pandering to get something out of them, and the argument could be made, just be proud of who you are.
True. Right, just, that's true.
Be more flamboyant, nor do you have to be more reserved. Just be who you are, and I think the more people living their lives real, really authentically living their lives, the easier it's going to be. This, I mean, I think the real battle is not in the political realm. The battle is really just living your lives. And because the more, if you're out and your family and your friends and your coworkers, people who truly love you, they will defend you to the death when they hear a homophobic comment.
Well, that's true. I guess what I'm thinking,
if you're not out and if they don't know about it, they may participate in it because it wouldn't have touched them in the same way.
I guess what I'm thinking is, like, for example, Mike and his boyfriend, Mike, you have to forgive me, I forget what your boyfriend's
John.
Name. John. Mike and John are probably very average, everyday people. They go to work, they come home, they, you know, pay the bills, they work in the garden, they do everything. The actual sexual part, not that I know this for sure, but it's just a small portion of their daily lives.
No, all the time, all the time.
Oh, I was going to say, no, you need to jazz it up then.
Well, I'm just saying, what I'm saying is, I think if people could see, you know, the average daily life of a gay man or and his partner or whatever, we actually, not that you do, John, but have regular boring lives, you know.
That's true. That's true.
Well, I just mean that, you know, we're I hate to say it, but we're just like you, except that when we actually get to the bedroom, it's a little different, but we do the same things, you know.
I'm sorry. Did you have better taste? We do.
Well, yes, that's true.
On Nick and Paris's podcast, he did a long speech about going to his friend's wedding with his partner Bruno, and how he felt when people took them as an average couple instead of looking at him and passing judgment, and how that was, to a certain extent, was it felt you know how he felt about it.
Yeah, I heard
he's
that.
Not used to the feeling, apparently.
I heard that, and I called and left a message on his voicemail saying that I thought that was an excellent way to describe how you were accepted at this wedding without without people even thinking second about who you were.
And he spoke to the same point Mark just spoke to, that you have to, the more people that are living their lives out, open, without being in any way, you know, just be who you are. That's what people get behind.
Exactly. Gosh, what a great discussion, you guys. I have to have you guys on more often.
We need to have a round table with Mr. Boyfriend.
We do, but you know, he's not available during the week.
Maybe we should.
We should have a big conference. Busy. Yeah. Well, listen, I need to cut
what's
my...
Go
ahead. What were we going
to
say?
Oh, I'm sorry. I know you need to... going to ask Mike what's good to listen to this week, since he does the soup.
Oh, well, let's see. PNS is always a good bet. Feast of Fools put on a repeat today, so I didn't listen to them.
I didn't either.
And I'm really getting into a new show called Remarkably Mark.
I knew it. He just posted his second show.
Oh, really? I was just there about an hour ago. I'll download it when we get through talking.
Yeah,
oh,
me good. Too.
Good. He sounds alluring.
Well, I am just so pleased that he has the reaction off of his first show that he's gotten. I mean, he had more comments than I've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
That's all due to Archer. That's all due to Archer.
Are you kidding? I only have 120 listeners. Do you know?
Very loyal listeners.
That's true. Very loyal and great listeners. I love my listeners. But now, Mark, do you know how many times your first show was downloaded?
So far it hasn't been that many. It's like 40.
Really?
Yeah.
It seems like from the reaction that was a lot.
Yeah, but like I said, they're all your listeners. They're wonderful. They're great people.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Well, listen, guys, I want to thank you so much for joining the show today and having the conversation about politics and gay life and so forth. I think it was a really good one.
I'd be happy to come back anytime.
I will definitely have to have you back when I can have the boyfriend on, too, so you guys can talk more. Mm-hmm. I think that would be good. All right. Well, thanks so much, guys.
Okie doke. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, so that was our show, our chat with Mike Hipp and Chef Mark of the Remarkable Palate Podcast and Remarkably Mark. And his second show is up now, so go there and go to remarkablymark.blogspot.com and download it. All right, boys and girls, until next time, bye. I should raise